Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is God's word.
Well, Facebook was lit up a couple weeks ago when a cry for help came out of Huntly, New Zealand, where the chef of a Thai restaurant was found working all by himself after his entire staff was a no-show to work due to a family emergency. It was dinner time. The restaurant was full of people, and all he could do was work as hard as he could, doing everything. Some customers were hungry and waiting to order. Others were waiting to be served, while others were waiting to pay. But there were no cashiers, no waiters, and no servers. Just an overwhelmed and overworked chef. One could only imagine the emotions and the heaviness that this chef must have felt. Now, I've never been to New Zealand, but if their patrons are anything like Americans, when we're hungry and waiting a long period of time for food, I would suspect that this lone chef was a great candidate for a nervous breakdown. After the Facebook post went out apologizing to the public for the inconvenience, something amazing happened. A customer that was waiting to pay began waiting tables. And then an employee from a nearby real estate business came by to help the chef and started working the cashier and then also as a waitress. And before long, others began assisting by washing dishes, and some even stayed late to help the chef close the restaurant. What began as a heavy and overwhelming day ended as one where community love was on full display, but more importantly, where burdens were lifted. Now, you may not know what it's like to be the only staff member of a busy restaurant, but I'm sure you do know what it's like to feel the burden and heaviness and frankly weariness of the weight of life. Today, we conclude our World with Windows sermon series with a message titled, "A Window for the Weary." Regardless of whatever weight you find yourself underneath today, Matthew wants to ensure you that rest is possible. But true rest can only be found in accepting Jesus' invitation to come to him. We'll see this in two parts. First, an invitation to rest, and then secondly, the gift of rest. We begin with an invitation to rest. In Jesus' prayer to the Father, verses 25 through 27, he informs us of the humility that is required to enter into the kingdom of God, as well as the authority that he alone has to invite people into it. Those who you might expect to enter in, the wise in the eyes of the world, and frankly, those who are wise in their own eyes, are actually blind to their need of Jesus because they stubbornly refuse to accept him for who he is. But those who you wouldn't expect, the lowly and the humble, those with a childlike attitude of need and dependence, are the ones he ushers in. Now, Christianity isn't anti-intellect, but it is anti-pride. And those who were the learned experts of the day, the teachers of God's law, the scribes and the Pharisees, were the ones who not only despised Christ, but also encouraged others to do the same. It's with this backdrop that Jesus gives the most astounding invitation that has ever been offered, while simultaneously standing firmly against his opponents. In verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, this isn't just a general invitation to everyone, but a specific invitation to those who are weary and burdened, those who find themselves weighed down with the unbearable heaviness of life. The beauty of this invitation is that it is followed with a promise of rest, a rest unlike any other. Now, in order to understand kind of the impact of this invitation, it's important to know what it was in direct opposition to. So the Pharisees and religious leaders had been imposing God's law as well as their own rules and traditions as heavy burdens on people. It was essentially, it was their form of spiritual oppression, and I would even say spiritual abuse. Their man-made legalism was a way for them to feel spiritually superior while making others feel spiritually exhausted and burnt out. They were communicating to people that if you want God's love, if you want to attain salvation, you must follow our rules, do what we say, when we say, and how we say it. But in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, Jesus would confront them when he said, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." He basically calls out their hypocrisy. So listen, if you are ever told that in order to experience a healthy and thriving relationship with God, you must perform better or engage in more religious activities as a way to earn, you know, kind of the thumbs up from God, but for you it only results in more burdens being added instead of being lifted, that should be like a early warning detection system in your heart that alerts you to the fact that something is severely wrong and out of whack. So in response to this, Jesus essentially says, if you go to them, you'll end up looking like Atlas from Greek mythology with what feels like the weight of the world on your shoulders. You might think it's cool and, you know, kind of spiritual to say things like, "I don't ask for a lighter load, I just ask for a stronger back." Now, listen, that may be cute to post on your, you know, Instagram page, but let me assure you that that is a horrible way to live your life. Because your shoulders were never created to carry the weight of the world, let alone the weight of your own life. But if you come to Jesus, he says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Come to me as you are, weary and burdened. And I won't just give you more load, I'll give you the rest that your soul longs for." You know, I love the way that Trulia Newbell puts it in her observation of this passage. She notes that Jesus doesn't qualify his invitation. He doesn't say, "Come to me when it's been at least a week since you've committed, you know, any big sins," or "Come to me when your personal relationships are not fractured," or "when your doctor finally gives you a good health report." No, he says, "Come to me broken. Come to me a hot mess. Come to me weary and burdened, because I can work with that." What he can't work with are those who choose not to accept his invitation because they think they've got it under control. They don't need his help, or frankly, the help of anybody else. So if Jesus is promising a unique type of rest, a rest that only he can give, and which only comes after submitting to his invitation to come, the question is, why isn't everyone everywhere knocking down heaven's door in response to this glorious invitation? Or maybe I should put it, you know, in a more personal way. Who or what do you turn to when you are weary and burdened? Think about that for a moment. Now, for some of us, if we're honest, our answer is Netflix and Bluebell. For others, we compound our burdens with more work and labor, hoping that if we do just a little bit more, then we'll finally be able to experience rest. Or maybe you're like the gentleman who messaged me recently this past week. He was so burdened with life that he attempted to overdose on pills and was shocked that he woke up the next day alive. Though he had hoped that he wouldn't, because he thought that that was the only way his weariness could end. Listen, the truth is that we are all susceptible to seeking substitute rest in everything except God himself. And this year is not even over yet. And yet for most of us, we've experienced more trauma, burnout, and heaviness than ever before. You know, the Pew Research Center reported that 66% of Americans feel worn out just from the constant news cycle. Now, I personally don't have any, you know, empirical data behind this, but I don't just think it's the onslaught of news that we're getting that's wearing people out. I think it's everything. A global health crisis on top of steaming racial tension, on top of steaming political tension, and not to mention whatever personal day-to-day issues you're facing in your own life that's not being reported on the evening news, right? So this is what some social scientists call complex grief, right? It's not just one thing, it's everything, which is why I'm glad Jesus didn't say, come to me if you're weary, or come to me if you're burdened. Rather, he said, come to me if it's compounded, if it's weariness and burden, if it's your marriage is falling apart and you're concerned about the security of your job and your children are transforming into people you don't even recognize anymore. For your complex life, Jesus says, I offer simple rest. Yet, if we're honest, it's often our pride that keeps us from going to Jesus. The pride that says, I don't need anyone's help. I can do it on my own. You know, it's our pride that hinders us from experiencing the very rest that Jesus would have for us. We say, I simply just can't afford to stop and bring my burdens to the Lord because there's just too much for me to do. You know, in her book, Humble Roots, Hannah Anderson, she said, we must reject the pride that believes in humility as a concept, but refuses to actually be humble before God. The trouble, of course, is that it is our very pride that keeps us from being healed of our pride. So before we can ever answer his call to come to him, Jesus comes to us. To all who are weary, to those who with a childlike attitude acknowledge their need and dependence on God, Jesus invites you to come and receive rest. And once you accept his invitation to come, and once you accept his invitation, you can receive the gift of rest. In verse 29 and 30, he says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, these are arguably one of the most astonishing verses in the New Testament. For in it, Jesus gives us a behind-the-scenes look into his very core, into the essence of who he is. The extraordinary British minister Charles Spurgeon noted that out of all four gospel accounts, this is the only place where Jesus tells us about his heart. We're told a lot about the works of Jesus, you know, his miracles and the things he did. And we're told also a lot about the words of Jesus in his teaching. But it's only here do we see him reveal and describe to us the very nature of his heart. It is gentle and humble. The Bible doesn't present the heart as only the center of our emotions, but the very core of who we are. This means that Christ is approachable and inviting. So you need not fear when you come to him. Unlike the Pharisees who were overbearing and demanding in heart, placing heavy burdens on others, Jesus, in contrast, is gentle and humble. A servant who comes to carry your load and lighten your burden. What an incredible Savior. But you may be thinking, okay, wait a minute. If he is gentle and lowly, or gentle and humble in heart, why is he giving me someone who is weary and burdened? Why is he giving me a yoke? Especially when you consider the fact that a yoke is basically just a wooden cross piece that was fastened on the necks of two animals and attached to a plow or to a cart that it would pull. So it was meant to do work. Well, I'm glad you asked. He says that the yoke that he gives is easy and the burden that he gives is light. First of all, Christ always keeps it 100. He never promises a relationship with God that results in complete bliss and no hardship. But the word that he uses for easy can be translated as kind or loving or good. And the word that he uses for light literally means not burdensome. So the yoke that he gives is a kind and loving yoke. It's loving for you. And the burden that he gives is not really a burden at all. Like the way that Dane Orlin writes it in his recent book, Gentle and Lowly, he says, his yoke is a non-yoke and his burden is a non-burden. What helium does to a balloon, Jesus's yoke does to his followers. I love that, because the rest that he is offering isn't just a weekend getaway with you and your two closest friends at your favorite beach. Though there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But what he's offering is a deeper and fuller rest. Not simply just rest for your body, but rest for your soul. There's an eternal rest for all who are crushed under the weight of sin and legalistic burden of trying to earn their salvation with what they do. The eternal rest that Jesus offers involves enrolling in his lifelong continual education program in his school of grace. For he says in verse 29, learn from me. Listen, this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You take a posture of a lifelong student and learn. Learn what it's like to have a gentle servant and humble king as your Lord and not a overbearing tyrant. Because we wouldn't accept God's invitation to come to him, God sent his son Jesus to come to us. He fulfilled in himself the demands of the law and on the cross took our hard yoke and our heavy burden, and he gave us his light burden. He entered death's door wearied and beaten in order for you and I to experience eternal rest with him forever. We bring our weariness and inability to do what God has called us to do, and we receive the freedom and forgiveness of sin that he offers. Religion says if you want to be someone great, you must do something great. You must work for it, and you must work hard for it and labor and keep laboring. Jesus has no issue with greatness, but he says, if you want to be someone great, you must trust someone great, namely Christ himself. In 1 John 5, 2 through 3, the Apostle John says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And here it is. And his commands are not burdensome. The yoke that religion puts on you is burdensome. But Jesus' yoke is not. Because it's an expression of our love and gratitude for him, for what he's done for us. Now, as you might expect, this completely transforms what physical rest looks like in our everyday lives as well, because it's not a coincidence that immediately following this passage, Jesus once again engages the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, but this time it's on the topic of keeping the Sabbath, to which Christ responds by saying he's Lord of the Sabbath. Now, this is a complete game changer because what he's communicating is there's a new sheriff in town. Well, I mean, I guess really he's saying it's the same old sheriff, you just didn't know who he was. And Deuteronomy 5 is the retelling of the law, the retelling of the Ten Commandments. But this time with the fourth commandment, the commandment about the Sabbath, God gives more detail about why his people need a regular weekly rhythm of rest than he did in Exodus 20. For he says in Deuteronomy 5:15, you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The point he was making is this. For over 400 years, rest was not an option for Israel. Instead of making their load lighter and alleviating burdens, Pharaoh put more on them. They worked every single day with no rest. But it was the Lord their God who delivered and rescued them from slavery. And afterwards, at the top of his agenda was to tell them, hey, I know you're tired. And though you are now out of Egypt, for the rest of your life, I have to ensure that Egypt is out of you. So unlike the torturous taskmasters that you once had, who asked you to lay more bricks and more bricks, and who made you literally work to the bone, work to death, I am building into the very fabric and DNA of my people rest. Why? Because I freed you from slavery, and I am your king, not Pharaoh. You and I, listen, we don't only need just a couple of weeks of rest a year to unwind, though we do need that. We need an eternity of rest because we are no longer slaves to sin. We have been delivered from Satan's death grip and have been freed by the blood of the Lamb who became a slave for us and worked to the bone on the cross so that we could be free and free forever. So if you find yourself today not at rest, if you find yourself weary, broken, and burdened, drop whatever you're doing and do whatever you have to and come to Jesus. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light.